Can I just ask for everyone to stand? I really believe that the worship team brought us into something that the Holy Spirit had planned for us today, and that is an absolute revelation of what God is doing in our world, but in you individually. And I want to encourage you today is we're going to talk about Father's Day, but we're not going to talk about what we need to do, but what God did. We celebrated women last month. We're celebrating men this month. In the United States of America, we have come to the realization that God did something really particular and very special when he created the idea of motherhood and fatherhood. And so what I want to do today is to establish in our hearts of a breakthrough of what God is doing in your homes and what God has done in your homes. And maybe we're not practicing it yet. And I just want to say to you, the reason why we're not practicing it in fullness is because we truly don't understand and recognize the spiritual principle of what God did already, what God created you to be. And nothing can stop that except, and when I use the term, hear my heart, I am not calling anybody ignorant or stupid or all those dumb words. What I'm saying to you right now is because we just didn't know what God did. And with what God did, knowing that, then we just step right into it. We have breakthrough. And that's what God is doing right now. He is breaking through some establishment of demonic influence in our world. We are seeing reestablishing of nations right now. Nations that have been doing the same thing for centuries. And God is moving and establishing things. But here's what I want to tell you. And the reason all this is changing is because God is establishing the home. And I was worshiping here, and I recognize every one of us have our story, don't we? Every one of us have a good story and bad stories. It doesn't change one iota of what God did and what God created you to be. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for the men. I'm going to pray for fathers. And I want the women to stand because honor is such a principle in everything that God does. Everything that God does brings honor. And God is reestablishing that in the homes and in our world. And so let's come in agreement. Now, if you'd like to, you can join hands if you're comfortable. And let's do this. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you thanking you for what you have planned from the beginning. We have seen in scriptural stories time and time again where what you planned, obedience manifested, and great things happened in the story. We have seen other stories in the Bible, Father, that you have established what you did, but there was disobedience and dishonor. And we saw even nations be destroyed. And no longer are there. And we proclaim in Jesus' name right now, in the homes that are represented here and the hundreds of homes that are represented online, in Jesus' name, Let the truth set us free of what you have done, what you have established in every home that's represented here, that you've established honor at Valley Community Church. And I proclaim in Jesus' name for that breakthrough of that revelation. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you, and you may be seated. I thought this was pretty hilarious. This is, as a man, my wife tells me I have two major faults. I don't listen, and something else. Happy Father's Day, gentlemen. I honor you, and I proclaim in Jesus' name that you will really recognize what God already did in you. Now, men, you have and continue to be what God made you to be. I'll say that again, because this is what my basis of my message today. You have and continue to be what God made you to be. And as many of the men wore their shirts for men's ministries, I have mine on, forged, that you have been forged by God to do miraculous things. I would really desire to see every one of you men and your brothers and your friends, men friends, to bring them to the barbecue, sign up for that, be a faith person, pay for four people, and go find the other three and bring them to the barbecue. So I want to explain you this today, that you are forged by God. And there was nothing you did for that to manifest. See, my message is called The Making of a Father Who Loves God. But I want you to understand underneath that title is that God forged you. And we will experience the understanding of what that means. So turn your Bibles or click on your tablets, Matthew chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 18. And we're going to talk more about this in a moment. In Matthew 4, verse 18, says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you,'" notice the term make "you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets," or they left their past experience and followed Jesus. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. Keep that in your mindset here. And he called them. They were fixing something, and God called them, and they followed him. See, as a believer, one of the very first things that we learn is to deny ourselves and follow Christ. To deny the experiences, the past, or even the future experiences in those leading us and guiding us and following and becoming obedient to the words of Christ. In Genesis 1, in verse 26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea.'" It didn't say possibly let them. "Over the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And there's a lot of creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. God made man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Now, gentlemen, you cannot make yourself into a man of God. Jesus has done that by the Holy Spirit. He makes you into what he wants you to be. I'm going to say that again, because we, as men, we don't get that. God makes you into what he wants you to be. And because we don't understand that, then we try to make ourselves what we think we should be. And most of us, I am a pastor over many wonderful, absolutely just amazing men. I love the men of God of this church. I love the passion you have for your homes, your businesses, your jobs. I love what you do. None of us are perfect in our actions or in our obedience, but I want to tell you, in my opinion, you're some of the best that God has ever made. But it is impossible to walk in kingdom realities. What we're trying to fix as men without Jesus being Lord of what was made. Are you following this introduction here? See, the result happens by being forged or understanding the principle of being forged. The meaning of forged is to make or shape something through the process of heating and hammering it, beating it. This seems hard, but it's not, because the Holy Spirit is doing this in you. He is shaping you. He has and is shaping you. And the molding and the forging happens because he's doing it. And when we recognize that it's coming from him, not what happens in your life, or what someone said, or what someone did, or what someone didn't do, or that you were raised by a good father or a bad father, or all the different things, you and I must recognize that God has principled and purposed you to be forged and to be this, what he made, the creator. And from that, the difference is, because we, even in church, which there's truth of discipleship, is that we grow in all the different things, but we grow in the knowledge of him. God has already made you to succeed and to be everything that he has planned you to be that father, to be that natural father, that spiritual father, that man of God, the one that protects, the one that stands in the gap when things go awry. You have been made that way. You have the ability to be that, to do that, to accomplish that, and to think that. The difference is that we don't know that God did it. And we don't depend on that basis that God did it, and so here it is. What did he do? All right, that's the question. It's kind of like when you buy something, guys, we do this. You've had these for 30 years. Do you look at the instructions? No. But you know, I'm telling you, yeah, I'm that guy that sometimes has extra parts left over after I put it together, because I don't look at the direction, because I know. And I'm just trying to say to you guys, is we have to get to a place of recognizing not that we don't know, but recognizing that God did know and he already created you. I'm playing on words here, but I'm trying to pierce decades in some of us of this mentality is I just got to figure it out. I just got it so I can do. And I'm just telling you is God says, I did. Follow me. I called you. I set you apart. Isaiah 43 verse 1 says, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. God has set it apart. You have victory before you start moving towards victory. So this is an affirmation of God and his sustaining power. That power does not just carry us through your trials, but fortifies you within them. Everything you'll ever face, everything that you will ever see, good, bad experiences, God says, I've empowered you, I molded and shaped you so that you can walk through it, and when you walk through it, you will even be greater on the other side. That's the reality of the kingdom. That's the reality of God creating you. But we always go back to, you got to do gooder. You got to be better. Look in the mirror. Look what you look like now. We're into this man-made stuff. I'm not a self-made man. I'm a God-made man. And if I try to do it in self, in that selfishness, then I will make a lot of mistakes. But if I know that I'm God-made, then I need to go to the instructions, the Word of God, find out what God did. Is that I'm created in his image, and the gifts of the Spirit, the enablement of the Spirit is there in me to be able to do anything that I will ever face or face anything that someone will try to do to me. And so when we talk about forgiveness of what goes on, that's easy. Because God said, you're going to be like me, and you walk in that, and on the other side, it will be even greater. Because a lot of times we'll say, well, if I forgive, what's going to happen? I don't care what's going to happen. I will be a God-made man, and I will forgive. I will be a God-made man, and I will love. I will be a God-made man. When I am dishonored, I will walk in honor. You're following that because you're not doing it because you feel good about it or it's right what someone did or didn't do. It's because you know what God did for you and how God forged you into the creation and the image that he is, and you have the ability to sustain anything. That's how great you men are. Ladies, this is about you too. Now, God created men, forged men as problem solvers. Many of you wives know this. That's why, ladies, you say to your husband, I didn't tell you to fix that. Just listen to me. You ever said that to your spouse? Then the man gets quiet and listens. And then you ask, honey, why aren't you talking to me now? Because you said, shut up and listen. Because you said that, that's the direction, I'm going to fix it, so I'm going to shut up and listen. Men, this is now where I want to take you. This is the culture that God molded and shaped you to create in your life. And it begins with you. So let's look at this. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to use a scripture that everybody knows the scripture, and some don't like the scripture, but let's go ahead and read it. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents to the Lord, for this is right. Honor your mother and father, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So what we have is a directive, a commandment, to honor father and mother, that it may be well with you. In other words, when you honor, it all automatically establishes a wellness. It establishes a life that will be well. It didn't say that everything will be great and perfect, but it said it will be well with you. You will be able to walk through any situation because you have created in your own life the obedience of honor. In our culture today, in our world, young and old, there is much culture of dishonor. So we need to set up the culture of honor because God says that's how it works. Now, let me just give you an explanation. Men, are you like me? Sometimes you can't find the hammer, and you use the wrench to pound. Is the wrench created to pound? No. But we do that. Why? Because we don't have the hammer. God's given you all the ability, and here's the reality. Is honor is something that establishes the principle of wellness in every area of your life. Your greatest battle is when there is dishonor. In our world, the greatest battle in our world is a dishonoring. Matthew 4:19 says, "Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." With a culture of honor, Jesus says, come and follow me. The greatest ability you have in your life is to honor God by following God and following his principles. Because, guys, we are created, molded, shaped, and we are fixers. Now, in the following of Christ, it produces the plan of God in your fathering and your manhood. That's why we have many people that struggle with their identity. And I get that. It is demonically influenced because when there's not a following of God, then there's a dishonor and it creates a culture of sickness and disease and mental disorder. And so with that, when there's dishonor, what it creates is an inability to understand who you are. And so when we find all kinds of people who are trying to figure out who they are in the world, and I'm not just talking about transgenderism or anything like that, I'm talking about that there are many believers who are in church, they don't know who they are. I'm not talking about gender, but there are many aspects of that. So God so loves the world. God loves everybody. But the reality is in cultural systems of our world, you have people that do not have identity in their life. That's why we call our youth group identity. Not because we're going to tell you what you are, it's because God is your identity. If you come and study the Word of God and join with other people who love God, knowing that they're molded and shaped by God in the image of God, then they will have true identity. They will know who they are. And they won't struggle in these areas. So we have to understand honor and dishonor is huge in the kingdom of God. So before we continue, let me explain verse 19 there. Then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. This call in your life wasn't stop what you're doing today and be with me. So when he called the disciples, he didn't say stop what you're doing and then follow me. It brings two truths. And these truths I want you to grab a hold of. All right, so first, it's a call to divert your entire life over. Everything done now is with a desire to please God. When you become born again, you don't go change jobs. You don't go change spouses. You don't go, you know, you must understand now you divert everything that you did before in following God. All right, so here's the second thing. It is a call of following him, which is a lifelong process. Now, this obedience to follow God is a lifelong process, and in that process, you will never complete everything. You'll never complete it. And here's why. Because those that come after you will continue what you began. Fathers, your children. If your spouse outlives you, your spouse. If you own a business, your employees. Your spiritual sons and daughters. This morning, about 6 o'clock, I was in my office praying, and the Holy Spirit said, call Dad Titus, spiritual father in my life. So I called Dad Titus, Larry Titus. And we talked just for a quick moment. He was getting ready to go to church. But we have to understand is there is such a completeness, fathers, men, in passing a baton. There are things that you want to complete because I'm a personality, start it, finish it, get her done, right? And I live that way in my life, but I understand because I'm molded, I'm forged by God, is there are many things that I'm doing, I'm passing the baton. I talked to a spiritual son this morning, and he's in North Carolina, and I passed the baton of a church to him. And we talked for a quick moment because he was getting ready to go out and preach a sermon. And the reality is that I'm always speaking into that. I have a natural son, a natural daughter. And as I live and have breath in me, in my lungs, I will love them. I will do everything I can that they will see and experience things that they can take and live on. Now, because I'm not perfect, you're not perfect, they might learn from me things, and I ain't going to do that. That didn't work, all right? But the reality is, if I stay to the focus of that I've been forged by God, then I'm going to see just powerful things, and then I'll pass on greater things. You know what's great about the word? Is that when you pass it on, they do greater things. If we don't understand that, we don't like that. You've seen men who were buried with gifts and abilities, and they never passed it on because they didn't understand forged. Please know in this call, it gives a promise to you also. He says, I will make you. Jesus, your Lord, has committed himself to make you what he wants you to be, to forge you. So there is absolutely 100% possibility when you recognize this culture of honor, and as we're moving, is that everything that you have dreamed that came from God will come to pass. And then there are things that you will dream that you're going to pass it on. All right, let's go on now. I'm taking you to a place of real recognition. So the reason is so you can do what he wants you to do as a man and a father. So follow him. Make Christ a lifestyle of following, and everything you do, do it with honor. Listen very closely. Even if you know exactly what Jesus wanted you to be in the future, you still do not possess the ability to turn yourself into it. It is Christ that makes you that. So men, take a deep breath and just go. The old adage, Christ is not finished with you yet. But he's got the hammer and he's got the heat. And I would rather have that heat of passion, of following and being obedient with the word than in disobedience. Because you will grow, you will become either by obedience or by repentance. You will get to that place by doing the things of God in his way, or you will face, here it is, consequence. People have asked me many times through 46 years of ministry, how come God allowed this? And I'm telling them, God didn't allow that, but we gave permission for it. Because there's a spiritual battle. So we still do not possess the ability to turn ourselves into what God made us or is creating us to be. In other words, what I'm saying, you don't have a phone booth, Superman. Some of the young people, what's a phone booth? See, all this happens when you give him full reign. He will mold you, he'll shape you, he'll equip you, he'll guide you, he'll anoint you. He will take you into places you never dreamed of until he gives you the dream. Matthew 4:20 says, they immediately left their nets and followed him. Now watch this. They immediately left their way of life and followed him. They left a past way of thinking and doing. Here's another statement you hear me say quite a bit. If ever you want anything to change in your life, the first thing you need to do is change yourself. Not wait for someone else to change. Not wait for your spouse. Not wait for your kids. Not wait for your mom and dad. But change yourself. They left past hurts and forgave. I want to tell you, unforgiveness will stop the shaping. And you will not get any further in your walk with God. No matter what you do, because remember, it is God That makes you, not you. They left everything and followed Jesus in everything. They left the past, and then what they did in the future is they followed what Jesus did or what Jesus says. They changed that culture, and they did it all with honor. And when they dishonored, what did Jesus do? He corrected them, and he corrected them quickly. So many men, after receiving Christ, they just add Christianity to their many nets. In other words, they were a fisherman, and they were casting nets, but they're a father, they're a grandfather, they're a business owner, they're this, they're that. And so they just added Christianity to that. Many men are still trying to mend their past, forgetting those things which are behind and press towards the mark of the high calling of God. Press towards that. In other words, allow yourself to follow God. Press towards Him, men. That's what God is asking you to do. Matthew 16, verse 24 and 26, so then Jesus says to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? See, being the best man, guys, the best father, is that you empty yourself. And how you empty yourself is you humble yourself. Now, I gave you a flyer of understanding what that is because of time. We won't read it, but you can read it later. But just let me give you just a little context of it. Humbling yourself means recognizing your dependence on God by acknowledging His authority and submitting to His will. That's humbling yourself. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So let me give you three keys of a successful father. First, mentorship. Be humble and learn. Be humble and learn. Second, internship. Internship. That's about fellowship and relationship with other men who walk with God. I have surrounded myself for decades with men of God. I don't surround myself with women of God. My wife does that. But I surround myself with men of God. I highly respect women of God. And I will sit in the seat down there and listen to women speak the word of God and learn. But as myself as a man being molded and shaped, internship, I fellowship with other men. And then third, fatherhood. In other words, I have spiritual fathers and I have spiritual sons. And I learn from them. I learn from my son. I learn from my daughter-in-law and son-in-law. I watch, I listen, I learn. Also, discipleship, the reading of Scripture, happens when you're a self-starter. Men, don't try to find a book that will help you get in the Word of God. Follow Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus, which then you will get in the Word of God. Amen. Amen? I know many of you are on Zoom with Pastor Dan, and I would encourage many of you more to do that. And on Sunday morning, I'm here at 8 o'clock, and at 8:30, we pray, 10 minutes, four services. Online, you call in a number. I would encourage you to be a part of that. OSL, Bible studies, Sunday night Bible study, OSL. Bring your young people to Identity, the children's ministry. Create that culture of honor. You're honoring God because you want to know Him. You don't get married and then go sit in a living room and don't talk to each other forever. I know some marriages are like that, but the reality, that was supposed to be funny. Maybe you're all having a struggle with your, no. You can't do that in relationship, not talk. Luke 16:1 says, he also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. Mark 4:34. But without a parable, he did not speak to them, and when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. So what you have to do, Jesus mentored. He literally interned two by two. He grabbed guys together. He sent them out two by two. He fathered them. He also was basically a son. He was a son of God. He didn't go away from there. Hey, guys, I came here. Yeah, Joseph and Mary, I'm a son, but I'm God. No, he was a son, and he was pleased. I don't do anything unless I hear the Father say it. Honor. Last thing, men. Yes, we are fixers. Yes, we are fixers. But learn how to be fixed. Learn how to be fixed. Just be obedient to following God. Hang out with the boys. Amen. Hang out with the dudes, man. Just get around men of God who aren't perfect. Not that you can be a gossip column, but you're honoring. And you're, see, when I'm around men, I want them to, because I was with them, to be better because they are honored. I honored you, businessmen. Man, how smart you are. The ability you have to do the things that you do. I meet with so many and I listen. I ask questions. Yeah, they ask me questions and I talk, but I listen. Learn how to be fixed. Grab a hold of it. Recognize that. Follow Jesus. Better said, learn how to be spiritually corrected. So I'm going to read this scripture, and then we will conclude. But just watch this. Jesus exposes a woman's sin, bringing correction. But I'm steering this to us as men. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." All right, now that's an accusation of people who didn't follow Jesus, but that's not what Jews are to do, because God made them, we're to love one another. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." So the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from himself, as well as the sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water. I want that. Perrier, whatever it is. That I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. And Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, and that you spoke truly. Let's go on. Mark 8:33. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Now, I brought both of these out to tell you this. Okay? So she did say truthfully what was going on, but Jesus explained the whole thing. He's talking about living water, salvation, a transformation in the life. And then Peter, of course, Peter was Peter, and he rebuked him and said, get behind me, Satan. What you are thinking is being led or spiritually led of a demonic influence. So the rebuke was for doubt and unbelief. I want to say this to you again. The rebuke that Jesus did here in both was doubt and unbelief. The rebuke wasn't for making a mistake while trying to grow. And that's where we get so confused, is that God is just on us all the time. I go to church and I hear a message, I don't like that. I don't like feeling that way. It's doubt and unbelief, because if there's doubt and unbelief, your life is on a road to destruction. Salvation, watch this, doesn't help. It's on the road of destruction physically. So Mark 16:14, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. 1 Corinthians 4:15 speaks of fatherhood. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. So the best natural father are the ones who submitted and humble themselves to the lordship of Christ. But watch this, but it becomes spiritual fathers. I'll say that again, because we got to hear it. I know I've given you a lot of information and encapsulated it here. Fatherhood is such an amazing thing. But becoming a spiritual father is the end result of being forged. That your life is not just for your sons, because your sons or daughters are supposed to listen to you because you're a father. But your life becomes, there's such a culture of honor that when I see your children and your grandchildren, I mean, something that's so small that I know God is doing such unique things. I've been trained well by my wife. She likes sweets. I don't eat sweets, but I have a big old jar of jelly beans in my office. And if you ask, my assistants in the office, they know when they come, let them in my office. So today I had 11, maybe 12, littler ones in my office in line getting jelly beans. To one of them, I'm not pastor, I'm the jelly bean man. And I love it because every time they come by, I speak a word over them. And, you know, some of them are my grandchildren. But the reality is I've created a culture of honor because I want to bless their parents by giving them a bunch of sugar so they have to handle it. No. I want to bless the parents by looking at their kids straight in the eye and proclaiming that God has forged them, that God has created them. And it's because what God did, they're going to succeed in their life. Something simple. There are a lot of times I'll go out with people and be a spiritual father and hang out. I got guys coming in at 7:30 in the morning. They sit on the couch in my office, and we talk about things, and I'm their spiritual father. Why do I do that? Because I have an amazing son and a daughter, daughter-in-law, son-in-law. But see, my life is more than me as a father. I become a spiritual father because I honor. When I walk by you, I honor you. I never dishonor people, ever. Because I know that it will be well with me because I live a life of honor. Now, I know some of you, this is hard. Some people don't come to church on Father's Day or Mother's Day because they have struggled with relationships. And I get that. But I get that because we're trying to fix it. What I'm trying to tell you is that God molded you. And when those hurts and those discoveries of things that are wrong and not right happen in your life, step aside. Stop trying to mend a net. They were mending the nets and they dropped the net. Stop trying to mend your past and follow Jesus. And when you do that, I promise you, it will be well. See, the scripture says, may be well. But I'm telling you, because you're obedient to that, it will be well. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. See, I look out and I see powerful, anointed, handsome, beautiful people. And I'm trying to, you know, I pray sometimes that God, just give me a switch, you know, turn the electricity, just give me a switch. All right, everybody ready? Click. We've changed. These guys were working their behinds off, fishing, making a living for themselves and their family, creating identity for them. I'm a fisherman. And Jesus says, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. He said, I want you to understand that this is now spiritual life, not just physical. The most important is the spiritual. I sit and talk to a councilwoman, mayor. I talk to businessmen, their spouses. I talk to shepherd elders, staff, pastors that are more gifted than me, that are on the staff. And my desire is to be a father. Not come and be my son or daughter. My desire is to be a father, that my actions, who I am, projects fatherhood. Because I honor you and I love you. And when you turn that around, no matter how young you are, we have young people in here, upstairs, downstairs. But when you begin to see God, what do you mean by honor? Because there's some jerks out there in the world. Yeah. He says, follow me. I will make you the fishers of men. I will bring you because I have already made you to succeed in that. Never doubt again. Because that's where the enemy, you know, will come in and just lie to you. But that's when God will come in, the Holy Spirit, and rebuke you because of doubt of who you are. Rise up, O child of God. Rise up and become greater than you've ever become because of what he did, not because of what you have accomplished. Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. Follow him. Stop fixing your past and move forward. Amen? In Jesus' name, all watching online and here today, rise up and be everything that God made you to be. God bless you. I love you. Enjoy your family today. Happy Father's Day.